tonight. Good to see a good crowd here on a Thursday night. Hallelujah. God bless you in Jesus' name.
Clap your hands unto the Lord tonight. And while you're clapping your hands, why don't you turn that into a Psalms 41 hand clap, 47 and 1. Clap your hands, all ye people, and shout unto God with a voice of triumph and with a voice of praise. Come on, can we take just a few moments and worship the name of the Lord? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, come on, somebody praise him with a loud voice right now. Oh, why don't you lift up your voice as loud as you can and shout praises unto him? He's worthy, he's worthy, he's worthy. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Amen, amen. If you have your Bibles, the book of Genesis chapter 4, verse 19. Hallelujah. I want to say again, it's an honor and a privilege to be here in Buford. Amen. Thank God for what he's doing. Are you ready to have revival on a Thursday night? Amen. Well, that was kind of, I said, are you ready to have revival on a Thursday night? Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 4 and verse 19, the Bible says, and Lamech took unto him two wives. The name of one was Ada, the name of the other was Zilpah. And Ada bare Jabal. Everyone say Jabal. He was the father of such as dwell in tents and such as have cattle. And his brother's name was Jubal. Everyone say Jubal. He was the father of all such as handle the harp and the organ. Amen. We're going to read verse 22, but verse 21 is actually where I want to take my text. Verse 22 says, and Zilpah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, instructor of every artificer in brass and iron. The sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. Verse 21, one more time, says, and his brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all such as handle the harp and the organ. Amen. If the Lord will help me tonight, I'm going to preach the ministry of Jubal in 2017. The ministry of Jubal in 2017. Would you ask the Lord to help us tonight by lifting your hands and your voice right now? God, we love you. Lord, we praise you, we thank you, we glorify you, God. Lord, we magnify you, we exalt you. There's no one like you in heaven or on earth. God, we worship you because you are great and you are greatly to be praised. We ask you, God, right now to let your anointing fill this house from the front to the back, side to side. God, touch each and every soul in this building tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Everyone give the Lord a big hand clap of praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. This story begins with what we know so well as the beginning of this world. God so gracefully spoke this world into existence. And then after he finishes his creative work by his voice, he begins to form man out of the dust of the earth. And then after he forms man, he begins to breathe his own breath into this man. And so that we see at that moment that Adam became a living soul. Then the Bible says for the very first time in chapter 2 that God said, it is not good for man to be alone. Up until this point, everything God has seen has been good. And now God says, it's not good. So I'm going to put Adam to sleep, and I'm going to take a rib from his side and make him a helpmate. And they spend time, and it's not very long after they've been in the garden for a little while, that their acts of rebellion cause him to get kicked out. And the Bible says that Adam is doomed to till the ground while Eve will suffer pain in her travail. And then again, along came their offspring after time. And then there comes a time when these boys grow up that the time of sacrifice rolls around. Cain and Abel. Abel brought a sacrifice of blood to the Lord. Cain bringing of the fruit of the ground. We know that Abel's sacrifice was accepted while Cain was then rejected. Cain gets jealous against his brother, and then he kills his brother in the field and then lies to God about it like God didn't even see it. Go figure that one out. And then God punishes Cain and banishes him to live alone. He puts a mark on him. We have a very short window from there into Cain's life. What happens? Cain, at that moment, sometime, few weeks, months, maybe later, he takes a wife and he has a son and he names his son Enoch. And then he builds a city east of the Garden of Eden and names this city after his son. And so this is the story briefly of the ancestors of the men in our opening text. And from there we begin to look at the genealogy from Adam all the way down to Jubal. Adam, we know, bare Cain. Cain's name simply meant bringing forth. Cain had a son named Enoch, which name his name meant instructing. Enoch had a son named Irad, which means a fugitive or one running wild. Irad had a son named Mahajal, whose name meant that he is smitten by God. Now, I don't know about you, but to me, this doesn't sound too good. We've got a fugitive, and then the Bible says that Mahajal's name, or when you begin to study this name, Mahajal means he is smitten by God. Mahajal has a son, and when you think it can't get any worse, he has a son named Methushel. And Methushel's name means his death is ordered of the Lord. This doesn't sound good. You can call me whatever you want to, but don't name me something that means my death is ordered by God, please, for whatever you do. Methushel then has a son named Lamech, who the Bible says is a murderer and has broken the laws of marriage for the very first time we see in the Bible, and has taken him two wives. And then from this man, Lamech, whose name literally means depression or the pressed down, has a son named Jabal and a son named Jubal. Hallelujah. Let me pause from this story momentarily. I'll come back to it in a moment. But I want to remind you that we serve a God who loves to be praised by his creation. From the angels to the birds in the air, even down to you and I as mortal beings, we are put here because God wanted fellowship and God wanted someone that would love him and worship him, not because they had to, but because they wanted to. Not because it was what they were created to do, but because they were so in love with Jesus Christ that they wanted to worship him above anything else in the world. Hallelujah. One of the biggest forms that we see in the Bible of praise that we can find, and what little glimpse that we have into heaven, we can see that the biggest way that we can praise the Lord is recorded in the Bible through music. From Genesis, where Miriam led the women in a song and in a dance, to David, who wrote hundreds of songs, to Revelation, where we see that the Bible says that there are beasts that are flying around the throne and they are singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lamb." Ezekiel gives us insight to the fact that before Lucifer were ever cast down from heaven, that when he begins to speak of him, he speaks of the tabrets and the organs within him, so that every time Lucifer would speak, the organ would play through the reeds, and every time he would begin to take a step, the beat of the drum would play. And so we see through this, God ordained it through the word of God, we can see that God loves music and God loves praise. And you can see that anytime you sing music in the Bible, it's not very far behind that someone is worshiping the Lord. And so let me again bring you back to the story of Jubal and show you the kind of life that Jubal is living. Lamech, the pressed down, the murderer, his father, who came from a line of men, who shows us by their name that they are men after their father Cain. Out of this depressed man, out of this murderer, comes a man named Jubal, who the Bible again says was the father of all that handled the harp and the organ. This man is living seven generations from the fall of Cain, and all God has gotten up into this point is a bunch of folks who can't make sense of life. They keep on making mistake after mistake after mistake after after mistake. And then here comes Jubal right in the middle of it, who the Bible sets down, and he sees all the chaos going on around him. Jubal, the son of depression, a grandson of death ordered by the Lord, the son of a woman who has to share her husband with another woman because her husband is a man after his own desires. This man, Jubal, who's living in a dysfunctional family, I think that would be something that we could call this right here. He's living in a dysfunctional family, and he sets down under the unction of God and begins to build. And as he begins to build, he doesn't really know what he's doing, but after a few moments, things begin to come together and instruments are formed, and finally a way to worship the Lord is created. The Bible clearly gives Jabal, his older brother, the credit for building tents and being a farmer. The Bible gives credit to his younger brother for being a worker with brass. But I don't want to take anything away from all that cool stuff, but I want you to understand what I'm talking about here tonight. It's been seven generations of silence, 130 years of negativity, 130 years of people making mistakes, and then finally somebody sits down and says, I don't care what the rest of the world is going to do, I'm going to create a way to worship the Lord. Is it functional? Nope. Does it feel right? No. Is my family doing it? No. Is everybody else around me prodding me and telling me, come on, you can make it? Nope. But I'm not going to let that stop me from being a worshiper. I'm not going to let that stop me from creating my own personal way to worship God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know what? Jubal finally made up in his mind, I can sit around and wait on somebody else if I want to, and that's not going to get me anywhere, and it's not going to get the job done. I've got to create my own place, my own space, my own way to worship the Lord. If there's going to be any praise in my house, it's going to have to come from me. Friend of mine, if you're waiting on the person next to you, in front or behind you, it might be a bad night for them, and they may just feel like coming to church and coasting. You may walk out the door and not get what you came for because you didn't step out and worship the Lord. But if the spirit of Jubal could get a hold of somebody in here tonight that says, I don't care what anybody else does, I came with a commission from the Lord, and I'm going to lift up the name that's above every other name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible says to praise him in the firmament of his power. This word firmament literally means to cut out a place. The writer, David, is standing here and he says, praise him in the firmament of his power. You see, the reason David could say that is because David knew what it was like to be running for his life. David knew what it was like to face impossible situations. But he learned how a long time ago, I know this is simple tonight, but this is what the Holy Ghost gave me. He learned a long time ago that if I'll create a place to worship God, then everything else will just fall into play. I've got pressure on every side. My money's not right. My family's not right. The kingdom's not right. Everything has turned against me, but I'm just gonna kind of give myself a little bit of room and find myself some place to worship. If you're waiting till everything gets perfect and everything's right and the moment's right and it's on Sunday night before you learn how to praise God, friend of mine, it's not going to be very long and you're going to be one depressed human. You've got to learn how on Monday when the boss cusses you out to walk in the bathroom and say, God, I don't know why I'm going through this, but I praise you anyway. I don't know why everybody's turned against me, but I praise you anyway. I don't know why, but I don't have to know why. All I know is you're good. All I know is you're worthy, and that's enough for me to praise you. Hallelujah. 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 And so we look at this and we see, I want you to imagine with me what God sees as he looks at Jubal. He sees seven generations of mistakes. I don't know, maybe God was even mad he created mankind at this point. We know he got that way when Noah was living. Seven generations of murderous men, of liars and thieves. And then there's Jubal. Seven generations of no music, silence. And then there's Jubal. God said, I'm going to let the spirit of wisdom come on him. He's going to create a way to worship on the earth. I'm tired of silence. Let the praise begin. Let the worship begin. And so as Jubal begins to build, and Jubal begins to learn, as he tightens the strings on the harp, he begins to sing unto the Lord, and he forms the reed for the organ. He begins to lift up the name of the God of Israel. My friend, it's not but three scriptures later that the Bible says in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 25, and Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and she called his name Seth. We see Adam who, again, he's been living 130 years with loss, with negativity, focusing on his dead son. And God allows Jubal to learn how to play music. And it's just four scriptures later, and God brings life back into the life of Adam again. Case in point right here. If you're tired of holding on to dead things, if you're tired of worrying about the past, if you're tired of being around dead situations all the time, you just got to be like Jubal and say, I'm going to create my own way. I don't need somebody up there pumping and priming me. I don't need somebody to call me on the phone and tell me a testimony. I'm going to worship God because he's God. I'm going to worship God and I'm going to watch life come back into my situation again. I know it's dead. I know it's twice dead and plucked up by the roots, but my praise can revive that dead situation. My praise can put that marriage back together again. My praise can heal that body. My praise can touch that soul. There is no telling if we can only ever get the revelation of the power that's in our praise. We come in this house every service shouting down the aisles with our hands lifted up and tears running down our face because I know if I'll praise him, something begins to happen in the atmosphere. Hallelujah. I've got a big imagination, which can get me in trouble sometimes. I want you to just think here for a moment how Lamech, who the Bible says we can see through reading the Word of God, he was a hard man. So, well, the Bible don't say that. No, but the Bible says he was a murderer, and I ain't never seen one that was cute and cuddly. The Bible says he's a murderous man. Imagine with me how he spoke possibly to Jubal. He was proud of Jabal. Jabal was a cowboy. Jabal's got cattle. Jabal's building tents. He was proud of Tubal Cain. Tubal Cain is a worker of brass. He's making swords. He's making shields. He's making us some plows so that we can till up the ground with. But then there's Jubal. He looks at his middle boy. Imagine how he spoke to him. I don't know. He might have even called him a sissy every now and again because Jubal, you're out. You're just sitting up here in the tent in the air conditioning. You got an older brother that's working himself to the bone. You got a younger brother that's working around the fire. And all you're ever going to do is sit up here in this tent and play with these sticks and strings. But there was something inside of Jubal that said, you know what? I don't care what daddy says. And the Bible again said that Jubal was the father of all that played the harp and the organ. Jubal all alone praising the Lord caused an epidemic of worship that was all around the world. If it hadn't not been for Jubal, David would have never been able to play his songs on the hillside. Hallelujah. If it had not been for Jubal, there would be no book that we call the Book of Songs. If it had not been for Jubal, Miriam would have never took a timbrel and went in front of the women and led them with a song and went a dance. There would be no book called the Song of Solomon. If it wasn't for Jubal, Paul and Silas would have never seen an earthquake. We wouldn't be able to have the modern worship that we had today if it wasn't for one man that stepped out of the ordinary and said, I don't care what everybody else is doing, I'm going to worship God. He was the father of all that played the harp in the organ. I'm sure if Jubal was sitting in his tent and you would have told him that he would be the reason that there would be songs that we sing in church today,
He'd have probably laughed at you in your face and told you, yeah, right. All I'm trying to do is create a place to worship the Lord. But you don't know, friend, who your praise is touching. And you don't know who your praise is going into their spirit and beginning to work, because they know what you're going through. And they know the hell you're facing. And they know what happened on your job this week. And then they see you and you're in the house of God with your hands lifted up. You know what praise does to the devil? It looks at him. I believe it walks very down to the very gates of hell and slaps Satan in the face and says, is that all you got? You've brought hell to my life. You've caused my family to go in an uproar. You've attacked my mind. You've attacked my body. I've still got praise on the inside. Is that all you can do? Because if that's it, you're never going to stop me from worshiping the Lord. You're never going to stop me from my dance. You're never going to stop me from my praise.
Hallelujah. There's supernatural things that happen when we begin to praise the Lord. The Bible says in the book of Psalms chapter 8, in verse 102, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength. Jesus referred to this in what we call his triumphal entry in Matthew chapter 21. And verse 16, he's talking to the Pharisees, and he said, hearest thou what they say? And Jesus said unto them, yea, have you never read? Out of the mouths of babes and suckling hast thou perfected praise. I want you to notice that in the book of Psalms, David said, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength. And then Jesus in Matthew chapter 21 said the same thing, but he said, out of their mouths you've perfected praise. He was quoting to them the scripture, and many people would look at him and think, well, Jesus misquoted it. But Jesus did not misquote what David said. Rather, he gave the interpretation of what David was saying. While these people were worshiping him and praising him with everything that they had, he brought back the scripture that David had given, because he wanted them to understand that it's in your praise that there is a supernatural strength that is, I feel the Holy Ghost right now, there is a supernatural strength that is released into your spirit. You might have walked in here tonight tired from the job, everything going wrong, but when you lift up your hands and you begin to worship, there is a supernatural strength that begins to flow from heaven. It moves down to where you are, and the anointing of God that destroys every yoke begins to touch you, and then you can leave stronger than what you came.
I don't have time to preach them all. There's 7 different Hebrew words for praise: Barak, Korah, Todah, Shabak, Yada, Gil, and then the Rum and the Halal praise. And I'm going to talk about that one, the last one here, in just a moment. But all 7 of the Hebrew words require, when you go and you study the Old Testament, you'll find that all of them require 2 things. They require your mouth, and they require motion. Well, God hears the praises of my heart. I believe that, but if you're going to give God a biblical praise, you can't just sit still and you can't just be quiet. There's something on the inside of you that has to come out. Oh. Well, preacher, I'm just not the emotional type. Let me tell you something, friend. You get emotional over a new car or a new pair of shoes or a sale down at the mall. You're emotional about what you want to be emotional about. Well, that's just not the way I am when I come to church. I just give God I can give God praise for my pew. I understand that. And hey, I'm thankful for the pew praisers too. But somewhere along the line, you're going to have to figure out, I can't just stand still. I can't just keep my lips quiet. I can't hold my peace when God has been so good to me. I've got to worship him. I've got to praise him. I've got to lift him up and magnify his name.
You can be seated.
be all right if I just preach a little bit longer. You'll never find, I've tried my best, Pastor Copeland, if I'm missing it, you can correct me later. But I have looked, tried my best, run references, trying to find this name Jubal again in the Bible. It doesn't show up. The only place he's ever mentioned is in Genesis chapter 4. But when Jesus, or when God rather, the God of the Old Testament, Yahweh, which we know is Jesus Christ incarnated in the New Testament, but when God begins to speak to the Levitical priests in the book of Leviticus, and he begins to give them instructions on what they're to do, he gives them in chapter 25, and I think it's in verse 8, and thou shalt number the seven Sabbaths of the year unto thee, 7 times 7 years, and the space of 7 Sabbaths of the years shall be unto thee 49 years. Then shalt thou cause the trumpet of the Jubilee. We find here, Jubal's never mentioned again. Jubal doesn't get any accolades. Nobody shouts and preaches about Jubal. Nobody runs the aisles when we say Jubal. But when we go to the original Hebrew language and we see that they're talking, what shall we call this year? What are we going to do with this? He said, you call it you go back to the root of where this all started from. You go back to a man that went in his tent when everything was going wrong and nobody else would worship. And you call it the year of Jubilee, because it's in that moment that you're going to be changed. You're going to be delivered. You're going to be set free. Oh, God. If you were a Hebrew and the year of Jubilee came around, when times got tough, you could sell your property. And when you sold that property, it was just a natural understanding that when the year of Jubilee comes around, this stuff I just sold to you, because of hard times, because my finances have been bad, when year of Jubilee comes, I get it all back. I'm preaching to somebody tonight that hard times have come and it's caused you to lose your joy and lose your peace and lose your praise and lose some things that are important to you. But I come to tell you, if you'll be Jubal, if you'll be a Jubal of 2017 and let his spirit sit down on you for a little while and say, I know not everything's productive. I know it doesn't seem like the right thing to do, and it maybe even feels a little bit weird praising God when everything's wrong. But if I can find one Jubal, I'll turn the world around. Hallelujah. I was preaching at a church in Missouri. I think I shared this story with Pastor Copeland. I don't remember. But I was preaching in a church in South Central Missouri. And you preachers, you know what I'm talking about when sometimes it's just like God's silent. And I had about a 2.5, 3-hour drive, something like that, to get to the church. I prayed all the way there. I prayed before church. I fasted that day. I said, God, I got to have a word. Tell me what to preach for your people. As soon as my hand touched the door, the Lord spoke to me and said, go to the book of Psalms 150 and just preach about the power of praise. Let me tell you something. You ain't never been happy until you've been a preacher. And the Holy Ghost tells you to open up your Bible to the book of Psalms, chapter 150. And I said, if I don't like anything, I know I can preach about that, because I try my best to be a worshiper. Because that's my position first. Before I'm ever a preacher, I'm a praiser. Hallelujah. And so I opened up my Bible, got to the pulpit that night, and I turned to Psalms, chapter 150. And I began to preach about the power of praise. And I didn't preach but about 15 minutes. And the Holy Ghost began to move. And as soon as I gave the altar call, I hadn't preached very long, the Lord spoke to me and he said, you tell this church, if everyone here will worship me with everything they have, give 100%, I'll do great things in this house. Well, you know how it is. Sometimes we say that and we're just trying to get everybody's attention to try to bring us all together. But I'm telling you, it was the Holy Ghost, Brother Copeland. I just told him what God told me. And I'm telling you, there wasn't a person in the pew. Everybody come out of their pew, begin to shout and give praises unto the Lord. And about that time, a young man ran up to the front. He had been seeking the Holy Ghost, if I'm not mistaken. mistaken, somewhere around 6 months or so. And we laid hands on him. He began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. About that time, a backslider ran up to the pulpit. We laid hands on him. He began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. And I was thankful for that. And I shouted about it. And I said, God, you know, I'm thankful for these two that have got the Holy Ghost. But you told me I'd see great things. And I make it my business to see people get the Holy Ghost all the time. I want to have revival everywhere that I go, God. And I'm thankful for the ones that have got the Holy Ghost. But God, you said great things. And the church was set up very much like this one. But there was a door in the back left-hand side if you're standing in the pulpit. About that time, I'd no sooner got that out of my mouth. I was standing on the pulpit or on the platform with the pastor, and the children's church let out from the side building, and they came in, and the kids are running everywhere. You know how kids do when they get out of Sunday school, and they're just running all over the place. And about that time, a young man run from the side. He ran straight up, threw his hands up, and began to cry. I seen him, and he had his mouth open, but he wasn't saying anything. I asked the pastor, I said, what's his name? He said, his name's Dominique, and he grabbed me by my arm, and this is not my way of doing my character or anything. I just kind of shook him off very violently, actually, and ran to where the young boy was. And I laid my hand on his head, and I said, Dominique, can you say I love you, Jesus? And about that time, his grandmother ran up to me, and she grabbed me by the arm. She said, preacher, I just want you to know that Dominique is autistic, and he's never said anything in his life but mama and daddy. And just about that time, while the church was worshiping, Dominique said, I love you, Jesus. I told him, I said, Dominique, can you say it again? He said, I love you, Jesus. I'm happy to tell you, friend, about that third time, it wasn't English anymore. The Spirit of the Lord began to take over, and he started speaking another tongue as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. Say, well, preacher, you're just saying that to pin roses on you. It wasn't the miracle that I brought. It's when the church came together and said, I know I've got problems. I know things are wrong in my life, but I'm going to give God my best. It's the atmosphere that miracles can take place. I talked to that pastor not too very long ago. I said, how's Dominique? He said, you won't believe it. I said, yeah, I will. He said, you know, before he got the Holy Ghost, all he could say was, I love you, Jesus. That night he learned how to say, or all he could say was his mom and daddy's name. That night he learned how to say, I love you, Jesus. He said, and the doctors can't figure it out. He's slowly beginning to progress, and he's beginning to pick up new words. He knows how to say church. He knows the pastor's name. He knows my wife's name. He knows how to sing some of the songs that we sing at church now. In the middle of a praise and worship session in an apostolic church, a young boy, nobody prayed for autism. God stepped down and began to touch that boy and heal him during somebody saying, it ain't about me, it's about you. It's not about my needs, it's about your worship. It's not about what I'm going through. God, it's about you. Hallelujah. Musicians, come, I'm fixing to be done. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I was going through something one time. I'm fixing to be done. Musicians, please come. I was going through something one time. And it's just something that I try to do every time I walk into the church. Anytime I walk into a place of prayer, the Bible says to enter into his gates with thanksgiving, enter into his courts with praise. And so I make it a point that every time I come into the house of God, whether it's church time or not, I just lift my hands. I say, I love you, Jesus. I've just come to praise you. And one day I was going through something, and the devil was really fighting me. I had some situations going on in my life that I really didn't see the way out of them. And so I walked into the church kind of mad at God, mad at everybody. And the Lord said, wait, what are you doing? I said, what do you mean, what am I doing? I'm coming to pray. I'm mad. The Lord reminded me, said, why didn't you do what you always do? I said, you don't understand, God. I'm going through something. And the Lord spoke this to me, and I never forgot it. He said, when has praise ever been about you anyway? If we're not careful, we'll come to the church and we'll let what we're going through dictate the way that we worship. But praise was never designed to be about you, baby. Praise was never designed to be about your wants and your needs and what you were going through. Praise was designed to lift him up and to magnify him. Stand with me if you will. If you were a Jew when the year of Jubilee came around and you were in bondage to another man, Brother Copeland, it was at that moment when the trumpet of Jubilee began to sound, which, by the way, that's what the name Jubal means, is trumpet. When the trumpet of the Jubilee begins to sound, you could then look at that man that you've been in bondage to. Tell him, I don't work for you anymore. I don't have to be in bondage to you anymore. Come to preach to somebody tonight. You've been in bondage to some fear and some doubt and discouragement. It's controlled the way that you've went, but I'm here tonight to proclaim a spiritual year of Jubilee. And when they brought in the year of Jubilee, man, I wish you had your trumpet out here. The priest would blow the trumpet. And when he would blow the trumpet, the people would shout. But they didn't just shout anything. You go and you study what they used to do when they would bring in the year of Jubilee. They shouted a word. It's a word that we still use today. It's an international word. It's the word hallelujah. But they didn't shout it the way we shout it. They would break it up into syllables. They'd shout hallelujah. Spoke Hebrew, you would understand that it was against the law to say the name of God, Yahweh. And so when they got to that last syllable and they shouted, Yah, it literally meant to them the name. And if you go and you begin to talk to some Orthodox Jew that speaks fluent Hebrew, and you ask them what the word hallelujah means, they say, well, it means different things in different languages. But I've got a friend of mine that's a Jewish rabbi, and he told me this. He said, when we say hallelujah, it's literally like in your English language, like you're walking around, because they don't just do it, but they come from the bottom, and they lift up their hands as high as they can. And what they're doing when they shout hallelujah is they're saying, lift up the name, lift up the name, lift up the name. It's above every other name. You know what the Holy Ghost is here to do tonight? The Holy Ghost is here, and he's looking for a Jubal that says, I've got all kind of hell going loose in my life, but I've got one hallelujah that says, in the midst of my trouble, in the midst of my pain, in the midst of my grief, I'm going to lift up his name. I challenge somebody right now in the Holy Ghost to lift up your hands and begin to shout praises unto the name of the Lord. Come on, Jubal, where you at? God's looking for you. Come on, Jubal, you can't stay in the tent forever. You got to get out of that place you've been in. You got to get out of your comfort zone and give God praise.
Okay.
Spirit's moving like it is. If you need the Holy Ghost, come up here around this front. I believe that God is here to fill you right now, because there's an atmosphere. Anything can happen in the praises of God's people. Anything can happen when we set the right atmosphere.
This is how we. This is how we open. This is how we open. This is how we open. Say, this is how. This is how.
Right now is because the Lord is looking for Jubal in Buford, Georgia in 2017. They're doing a good job playing tonight, but I want them to stop for just a moment. Say, preacher, what are you doing? You're killing the spirit. No, I'm not. I'm obeying the Holy Ghost. You want to know what Jubal had to help him? Jubal didn't have anything. Jubal didn't have anybody in the microphone telling him to shout. Jubal didn't have any singers singing to him. Jubal didn't have a drummer, and I'm thankful for all we got. But what we're looking for is a Jubal that'll find out how to get it started all by themselves. Have we become so shallow? If it's not our favorite song, we can't shout. God forbid, if Jubal's in you, if there's a spirit of Jubal in you, it won't matter what's going on. It won't matter what song they're singing. It won't matter if there's a drummer or no drummer. There'll be a praise. There'll be a praise on the inside of you that comes out regardless of what's going on. If they can shout, "Great is Diana of Ephesus" for 2 hours, we ought to be able to give God 10 minutes of our best without somebody pumping and priming us. Come on, you're creating an atmosphere for the supernatural right now. Come on, Jubal, you're affecting your community right now in your praise and worship. God only knows there may be a drug addict right down the street that's feeling conviction right now because you're setting an atmosphere. There may be a drunkard that's slobber drunk in a bar room right now, but you're setting the atmosphere and he's coming to himself and realizing, I've got to be saved.